Jerry, would you lead us in prayer as we begin this morning?
Heavenly Father, we again come to thee with thankful hearts, recognizing, Father, that even our health that you've given us allows us to be here, and we praise you for that, and we pray for those who are not feeling as well as we, Father, and who are suffering and who are ill, and you'll have mercy upon them and heal them to be thy will. We're so thankful that you've allowed us to come here this morning to study more from another portion of your word. We pray that you'll be with us, Father, and open our hearts, and open our eyes, and open our ears, that we may know that truth. And I want to know them, Father, that have the wisdom to put them in our everyday life. I'm so thankful for the great blessings you've had through your Son, Jesus. We come to you this morning in his name. Amen.
Amen. Dale and Denise and his family are all sick. And so we need to keep them in prayer also. Just thought I'd mention that to you. Okay. For those of you who have a study guide, y'all have a study guide? You got one. Okay. All right. You see that we're going to begin a new series of studies, and this is on evangelism. That's what we're going to be focusing on, is evangelism. Come in. It's all right. We won't hold it against you. You just have to clean the church building after. So we're going to venture into a study on evangelism, on reaching out and sharing the gospel message with other people. If you look on your study guide, and I don't have any more study guides. Do we have any couples that have two that we can share, what have you? Okay, we don't. All right. The aim of this particular lesson, and really for this study, is to look at the vision, and that's what I want to begin talking about this morning. I want you to be thinking about. We've got to, in a sense, kind of reprogram our brains, so to speak, and refocus our thinking, because unless we refocus our thinking, we're not going to change our vision. That makes sense? Okay? There's a little jingle that says, two men looked through bars. One saw dirt, the other saw stars. Okay? It really does, in so many ways, life is determined by where we're looking and what we're looking for. So vision is a vitally important aspect of what we do in life. Okay? And that's true also about the work of the church. Okay? What is our vision, you know, as individual Christians is going to determine a lot as far as what we do, but it's also going to determine the direction of the church as a whole. Okay? So vision is vitally important in that regard. And we, in order to understand what our job is according to the scriptures in terms of evangelism, then we need to first of all begin to understand what Jesus' vision was for the world. Okay, so we're going to be looking at the vision that Jesus had for the lost, and what does that vision do? What did it do for Jesus? How did that vision that he have direct his steps? Okay? And then likewise, how then would that vision direct our steps? You see? So we're talking about something that we've talked about a lot, and that is becoming more like Jesus. That's really what it's about, right? You see? And in this particular part of it, or aspect of it, is becoming more like Jesus in that we have the same vision for the lost that Jesus had. Because unless and until we get that same vision, then we're never going to be evangelistic people. Okay? And so we need to develop that same evangelism or same vision for evangelism, the same vision for the lost that Jesus had, so that we can respond as Jesus did to those who are lost. Part of that vision, if you look on the statement, this is on the front page here, the statement of that, how did Jesus see people? Think about all the different stories that we read about in the gospel accounts of Jesus as he interacted with people. How did Jesus see people and their situations or circumstances? And give me an example. Well, the thing on here, you get a hint. If you read this, he saw people realistically. Okay, as they really were. He saw their real needs. You know, one of the most interesting stories to me in the gospel accounts is the account in John of Jesus changing water to wine. Okay? And, you know, we go and we can debate that story all we want to about, you know, was it real wine and, you know, and was it grape juice, blah, blah, blah. But none of those things really matter, okay, to the first part. But when you really break it down and you look at that story, there's a question that I think is a vitally important question that needs to be asked about that whole event. And that is, why did he do that? Okay? Why did Jesus... And by the way, how many miracles had Jesus performed up to that point? That was the first one, wasn't it? So this is his first miracle that he performs, and it's changing water to wine at a wedding ceremony. You're exactly right, but what is it that was so special about that need? What was it that Jesus saw in that circumstance that made him respond the way he did? What do you see in that story? You're exactly right. Okay. That's a part of it, but there's something even deeper. There's something more important. Remember, Jesus sees people as they really are. Okay. He sees their need. You go back and you look at that story, and when you begin to understand the culture that was there, how ruinous would it have been for this young couple to not be able to provide for their guests? You know, it's easy for us to just kind of write off this story in the sense of, well, yeah, it was pretty cool, you know, and we can look at it and say, well, yeah, you know, it was one of those things as we studied in our study in John, you know, Merle Tenney talks about Jesus, you know, displaying his power over quality. You know, we look at it theologically that way. He made the best wine and all that. But all that is true and it's all great. But I think one of the most significant things about it is why Jesus did what he did was simply to take care of a need that these people had. You see? Just to take care of and it was a social need. We look at and that's what that displays, doesn't it? I mean, we're not talking about, I mean, he did lots of miracles. He raised people from the dead. He healed people who had been, you know, diseased or crippled or lame all their lives and blind and all of those kinds of physical stuff going on in these. This is a social issue, isn't it? Exactly. Jesus cared enough about people that he would take care of a social need to save them from this embarrassment. See, what does that tell you about how much Jesus cares about what's going on in our lives? See? That his first miracle would be over something like that. See, if I were the one who was deciding, you know, when the conference was held, they didn't ask me, okay? If I were the one who they asked or was deciding what order of miracles Jesus was going to do when he got here, okay? I say they didn't ask me. I wasn't around then. But if I were the one who was deciding, you know, the order of miracles, that wouldn't have been the first one I would have chosen, okay? You know, I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, why not raise the dead, you know, someone for it? That'd been like a big one, right? You know? Do something really awesome the first time like that and, wow. Take care of something really important. The answer is, he did. He did. Because why? Because he saw people realistically. He saw them as they really are. He cares about the needs. Got some more? Hey, cool. Thank you. Who needs one? Who else? Anybody else need one? Nicole, would you work that back that way, please? Got one more. Going? Anybody? All right, I'll give you a discount on it. You'll take it. All right, you got it. Thank you, Cindy, for doing that. Okay, so we you know, when it comes to evangelism, now how does that fit into us sharing the vision of Jesus? What does that tell us that we need to be doing?
People's
needs. Yeah. What kind of needs, though? Spiritual needs?
All kinds.
Even some of those that seem to be insignificant. You see? Again, this is a social need here. But Jesus was concerned about that. Okay? And if we want to make a difference in people's lives, we need to have that same kind of vision. Okay?
This was a wonderful opportunity for him to do what he did. And I kind of questioned whether or not the people would have been prepared for him reading it. I don't know if they'd have been ready for that.
I don't know.
But I like the way the first miracle happened. It was a social event. A lot of people from everywhere were there. And the importance of the bridegroom and them being able to take care of the people that were there yet was very important back then. Not only that, you know, you had the ministry were respected back up by inviting.
Right.
Invited guests. You know. And so it was a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. It's an interesting choice, isn't it? You know, when you go back and you look at the story, how many people, you know, involved in that whole situation actually really even knew what had taken place? Not very many at all, you see? You know, it was, of course, Jesus and his mom, right? And who else? The guys that filled the water jars?
Yeah,
you know? I mean, even the head waiter didn't really know where that stuff had come from, did he? And probably the bride and the groom didn't either. No indication that any of them knew where it had come from. You see? In the sense of how it got there. Okay. But Jesus met a need. Okay. He met a need. And if we want to have that same vision that Jesus had, and by the way, it is, you know, what he wants us to have. You see, if you look down, you know, the bottom of this first page here, the statement there, our Lord did not want that vision to die with him. Okay? He wanted that vision to continue in the lives of his apostles and his disciples, and that's us today. Okay? So in this study, we're going to be hopefully learning how to acquire that vision that Jesus had. A vision for the lost. Open up your study guide there, and let's look at the first part of this under encounter there. Talking about examine it, okay? Can I get somebody to turn to Acts chapter 9 and be prepared to read verse 13 for us? And somebody else to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16 and be prepared to read that for us. Okay? Acts chapter 9 and verse 13, who wants to read that for us? Okay, Steve, hold on just a second. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, who wants to read that? Tom, okay. Now, before we read those, let's just talk for a moment here. And by the way, this study that we're doing is going to be somewhat different than what we normally do, is that, you know, we're going to have these handouts, and I'll give you the one for the next time when we finish this. We may not finish this all in one Sunday, and that's fine. We're not on a time schedule here. This is intended to be homework. Okay? You know, I want to encourage you. The reason I'm giving them out ahead of time is so you can take them and look at them and work them. Write these things down and use them, you know, as a study guide that way. So, the first thing on here, under examine it, make a list of things we see in others if we're looking at them from a worldly point of view. Okay? Steve, before you read that, let's just, you know, what kinds of things do we typically look for if we're looking at people from a worldly point of view? What are the kinds of things we're looking at? Okay, outward appearance. Okay, which includes what? What kinds of specifics, outward appearance, are we looking for?
Dress.
Dress.
Or their natural appearance.
Okay, whether they're clean or not, we're looking at what else?
How they act.
How they
act.
Okay, what about skin color? Does that come into play?
Yeah.
Certainly it does. Yeah. A lot of times it certainly does. Okay? You know, nationality, you know, what they look like. Well, you know, where are they from? You see? All of those kinds of things. Okay, what else? What are some of the other things from a worldly point of view that we tend to look at people? Wes? Go ahead, Lynette. Okay, language, okay. Okay, all right. Education. You know, what side of the tracks are they from? You know, that kind of thing. Wes? Okay. All right. Steve, read for us, if you would, Acts 9 and verse 13. Now, keep in mind the text here, if you haven't already turned there, what's this text about? This is Saul has gone to Damascus to do what? Persecute Christians, right? And then on the way, what happens? He meets the Lord, right? And now he's there in the house of Judas on Straight Street. He's blind, hasn't eaten anything for 3 days. The Lord sends a man by the name of Ananias to go to Saul. Steve, read that verse for us, please.
Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.
Okay. How was Ananias looking at Saul?
Reputation.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of this guy. Yeah. You see, one of the things that we have to understand here, if we're going to have the vision of Jesus in being able to reach out to other people, is we've got to start looking at our own vision. What's the condition of our vision? How do we tend to look at people? You see? Is it from a worldly point of view, or is it from a spiritual point of view. The next thing on here is also make a list according a list looking at them from a spiritual point of view. You know, we've got to look at, and this is a time for self-examination here. Okay? You know, I'd encourage you to write your name on there. Okay? You know, you see where it says make a list of things we see in others. I would encourage you to write your own name there or put it, make it, you know, first person there. Make a list of the things I see in others if I'm looking at them from a worldly point of view. You see, because if we want to have the vision of Jesus, you know, for the lost, then we've really got to be honest with ourselves and look at what our current vision is. Am I looking at people from a worldly point of view? And all those kinds of things that we were talking about, are those the kinds of things that help me to determine whether or not I'm really interested in talking to this person? Or like you said, Wes, I make a mental judgment of this person and say, you know, don't like the color of their skin, they're not dressed right, they're from the wrong side of town, they're this, they're that, or what have you. You see, if that is our vision, and that's how we're looking at people, how evangelistic are we going to be? We're going to be very selective, aren't we? You see, very selective. And we have this narrow vision, so to speak, of who's acceptable to us. Sometimes even, you know, we determine ahead of time whether that person would make a good Christian or not. You ever thought about that? I agree with you. I think you're right. Yeah, because I think in a way, you see, I think that people who are not church people, I think they can see right through us. In the sense that, you know, when you talk to some people, especially those who, you know, don't come from the right side of the tracks or what have you, you know, some of the things that I've had people tell me about, you know, I invite them to come to church and everything, well, I don't have anything to wear to church. Okay, well, we may think that's insignificant, but what is that saying about them and how they see us? Okay, just things like that. You know, we talk about putting on our what? Our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. See? And where they don't have any Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. See? And so something like that. And you know, we can argue back and forth, and I know sometimes it is, you know, it's just an excuse. They don't really want to go to church, blah, 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 blah. That's not the point. See? The point is, how are we looking at folks that way? I've told this story before, but it bears telling again because it's a perfect example of exactly what we're talking about. You know, a big Church of Christ conference that was going on, and I don't remember all the details, but I think it was in Nashville at the time or what have you, but, you know, all these great Christians were gathered for this big conference and everything, and there was a fellow that came in there, and he was a biker. And, you know, he had, you know, the tattoos, the leather, the, you know, long hair, the... You know, I mean, this guy looked like, you know, trouble. And, you know, as I've been told about the story, you know, he's trying to mingle with folks, and people were kind of tending to stay away from him. You know, didn't want to have to mingle with this guy. What's he going to do? And weren't they surprised when come to find out that he was the keynote speaker? Happened to be an undercover police officer. And that's, you know, for his job, that's how he looked, you see.
That was right over here at Virginia State.
Was that over here at Virginia State? Okay.
Yeah.
Wife was the one who was scrutinizing.
You know, And he said, don't you trust me by how I look?
Yeah.
And she just kind of, you know.
Yeah. You see, you know, again, what is our vision? Yeah. We judge people ahead of time based on what they look like, you know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, think about it this way, okay? Let's see, who do we have? Most of us all have our children that are kind of grown up. You still, you know, but you don't have a daughter. But, you know, for us guys who have daughters, you know, John, yours is, you know, growing up. She's getting to be a nice, attractive young girl and so forth. You know, and here she comes bringing this boy home who's got an earring in this ear, maybe one in his tongue, and he's got a tattoo on. And we look at him and go, what rock did he crawl out from under? You know? You know, again, we make those kinds of judgments about people, and you know, not only people like that, we sometimes look and say, they're not only not worthy to date my daughter. I'm not saying you've done that, John. I'm just using you as an example because you're the only one here who's got a daughter that age. Well, no, you do too, don't you? Yeah. Sherry. You know, we tend to do that, you see. But don't we do the same thing when it comes to if we're even thinking about evangelism and reaching out to the lost, that we use those kind of criteria to say, I don't think they're very good Christian material. Good. Now, let's make a list. Let's talk about what are the things that we tend to look at if we're looking at them from a spiritual point of view. How are we going to look at them differently?
Precious soul in God's sight.
Okay, it's a soul, and it's sometimes it's what kind of soul? It's a lost one, okay? If we're looking at it from the spiritual point of view, we need to be looking and saying, well, you know, that's a lost soul. Now, you know, not in a judgment kind of a way. Everybody understand that, right? We're not looking at, oh, they're lost because they're not a member of the Church of Christ. No, we're not talking about that. We're looking at people and saying, you know, I look at their life and they're not a person who's given their life to Christ, so that means they are lost. See? Do I look at them that way? What else? How else do we need to see them spiritually, Bert? But you see, when we look at someone from a spiritual point of view, doesn't that, in a lot of ways, make it easier to deal with that person? You see, and when we're genuinely concerned about their soul first, okay? I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, back a month and a half ago, what have you, I came to Jerry and I said, I got to talk to you. I said, you know, and Jerry and I sat down and I needed some wisdom. I needed some advice. You know, I said, elders do that. I don't know everything. I learned that a long time ago. But I told Jerry about our situation with our daughter and son-in-law. And at that point, all I knew was my daughter's side of the story, that my son-in-law, you know, was abusive to her and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I sat there and I talked to Jerry about it, and I told him, I said, you know, one side of me wants to go down and just beat him up. What?
The
flesh. Yeah, yeah. You know, I just want to go down there and beat him up because, you know, it's hurting my daughter. But, you know, wisdom helps out a little bit, you know, and said, I need to go down there and find out what's really going on. And now, you know, my son-in-law is not a Christian. Cindy and I have been praying for him for, you know, for as long as I can remember that we've known him, you know, that God would do something in his life to get his attention, that he would give his life to the Lord. Okay. My point is, you know, it was easy at that point, you know, before all this happened, for us to pray about, you know, him giving his life to the Lord. That's what we're all supposed to do as Christians, right? We know somebody's not a Christian, we're supposed to pray for them, you know. But then I find out, you know, this problem with my daughter. Last thing on my mind right at that point was praying for him. I wanted to just, you know, hurt him. Okay. But then, you know, again, wisdom and I think the Spirit of the Lord has helped me to put it all into better perspective, where, you know, a focus right now is, as I've talked to him many, many times and, you know, told him, you know, there's nothing I can do about Katie right now. That Katie is doing what Katie's going to do, and that's her choices, and, you know, we pray for Katie that maybe God will do something to get her attention now. But my son-in-law's still not a Christian, and I told him, I said, you need to give your life to the Lord. And I've had some very, very, you know, strong, stern talks with him, you know, about this. Not about getting back with Katie, but about giving his life to the Lord. Okay. And my point in telling you that is not that, you know, oh, Russ, that's really great. That's not the point. The point is to say, look, you know, in different situations that we find ourselves in, that Satan is going to take those opportunities and plant within our minds all the reasons why we shouldn't reach out to this person. You see? And we need to understand that. We need to be aware of it, you see, so that we don't lose the spiritual view of that person and just look at it from the worldly point of view. Because if I was just looking at it from a worldly point of view, I'd go down there and try to file for custody of my granddaughter, you know, and get them away from both of them. You see? See what the difference is between the worldly point of view and the spiritual point of view, John?
We're focused on the here and now.
Yeah.
You know, you get a compression, and that comes from several cameras that on the gun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And light it, and get a flash. And just
like that.
Gone in seconds. And we don't think about our lives in reference to our physical lives from the earth compared to the
same. Right. And not only that, and you're exactly right, but we also are not thinking about the other person's eternal life. You see? We're looking at them right now. You see? And that's what God calls upon us to do, right? Love one another that way. Absolutely.
A lot of times we don't, I mean, in our relationships, we don't want to really move to that. You know, the agape love, as you found out, it requires you to do painful things.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The phileo is a lot easier. Oh, this is my buddy, this is my pal.
Right.
We have fun together. We
yeah.
get along. We don't want to damage that relationship by saying, you know what?
Right.
You need to turn your life over to Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's easy to stay less than a lot of times, yeah. especially with people we know very well. And that's what makes it so hard to convert a family member.
Yeah.
Not only do you know each other's flaws and faults, but you really worry about damaging that, you know, that familial relationship.
Right, right. You know, yeah, risk, you know, he gets mad and then I don't ever see my granddaughter anymore,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing, you know. But by the way, this I won't charge anything extra for this, okay, this will be a freebie here this morning. Actually, I'm going to ask you to keep them in prayer because, you know, what Steve and I have been talking about doing is we have the webcams on the computer, and we've talked about just sitting down at the computer or with a webcam and doing Bible studies that way. He's agreed to do that. He's just not gotten to the point where, okay, I'm ready to commit, you know, to start doing that yet. You know, there's been, yeah, it's a great idea, and I'd like to do that, I need to do that, but there's been one excuse after another, so we need to be praying about God taking all those excuses away from us. Because I really believe that Steve, in his heart, is a good person. He just got a lot of really rough edges around him, and he needs to have the Lord in his life. And if he'll do that, then I think he will be, you know, he can be a really great, great man for the Lord.
If he could test the new to see if he can really love him for himself, love him to get him into your church.
It's very possible because he's very kind of cynical, you know, of church. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. What's interesting about him is when I talked with him, you know, a lot and everything, and before we finished the conversation, so many times, you know, I'm telling him I love him, Steve. And that's something that I remember the first time was like, there was a pause, and I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, I love him too. You know. You know, so anyway, I just ask you to pray about that, that, you know, God will maybe take all those excuses away from him, we'll be able to actually get to start studying him. But see, we've got to change our vision. Okay, that's the vital first step. Because if we don't, you know, change how we look at other people, you see, then we're not going to see the possibilities that are out there for us. Not just in, you know, the people that we could be able to bring to Christ, but the possibilities for those people. You see, I think one of our big vision problems that we have is that we tend to look at people as they are. Okay? How did Jesus look at Saul of Tarsus? Exactly. You see, we need to be looking at the potential in people. You see? So now, who did I have? Tom, you were going to read for us 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Turn over there in your Bible and let's look at that for just a moment. Tom?
Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer.
Okay. What do we need to start doing differently? Okay. All right.
And it teaches you to you look at people that way, you look at them in a whole different picture.
Okay.
Not only to see a soul that's lost, but to see somebody that hurts just like
okay.
you do, that loves just like you do. And so you begin to deal with these people in a whole different way.
Yeah. Your assignment in this is to memorize that passage. I don't know if you caught that or not. Okay? You know? Memorize that passage. Make it a part of, you know, your vision. To no longer look at people from a worldly point of view. See? But to look at them from that spiritual point of view that allows for potential. It allows for change to take place in a person's life. You know, one of the biggest reasons why we have relational problems with one another, whether you're talking about marriage, you're talking about work, you're talking about neighbors, is because we get convinced that the other person won't do what? They won't change. You see? They won't change. Well, when we do that, what are we doing? First of all, we're looking at them from a worldly point of view, okay? And we're not looking at the potential in that person. Zay? Peggy, you're about ready to burst over here. Go ahead.
The things that can help you, if you can remember where you are.
Yeah.
If you can
remember, oh, yeah.
You know, things in your life from the past. I think it's great that you were raised poor, then you're hungry. They didn't have the right clothes, mm-hmm. the other kids had, before growing up.
and yet they became a Christian because someone cared about them.
Right.
And if we can just remember where we came from and how we felt.
Yeah.
And if we can have a compassion, and that's what Christ had, when he looked at anyone, no matter who they were, he had compassion.
Yeah. His vision was full of compassion, wasn't it? Yeah. And I think we do. We forget sometimes where we came from. John?
Do you think we know what's possible, what's probable, what's impossible? Because we're difficult to believe in.
Yeah.
God knows it's different. God knows what's possible. Each one of you ultimately says what's possible, what's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're looking at it from a worldly point of view, aren't we? And we don't look at it from the standpoint of we have a God who created the universe, so anything's possible with him. You see? Right.
And the other thing is, we should share with them our faith. We should share that, okay, look, I'm da 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 da. You see me today, but in my life,
sure.
I wasn't. Sometimes you can even compare yourself with Paul. I was a Paul. I was a.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But you have to be upfront that, look, I haven't always been trying to walk in the
right.
So when you have, and especially when you are associated with someone who is outside of Christ, that should be the focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at, you know, I've kept myself, you know, and I think about where I was and where I came from, you know. Here I was a young, you know, single policeman working in the city of Newport News, and I had such a terrible mouth on me. When I first met Cindy and started going to church with her, I didn't even want to open my mouth at church. Most of the times, I was afraid it wasn't going to come out, you know. And I, you know, that's where I came from. And you know, I look at that, and you know, because of God's grace, He gave me the life that He did, and you know, she was able to help me to grow and change. And, you know, but people that knew me back then, you know, a lot of those folks, if they saw me today, would go, "You're a preacher? Yeah, I want to go to that church." You know? Because, you know, they knew the way that I was. And, you know, so, you know, I thank God for the potential that He works in us and He sees in us. And we need to have that same vision. Judy, you had your hand up there.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of times we look at people and we have this non-acceptable vision of life. And a lot of times when you get to know these people, their vision of themselves is a whole lot worse than what you have.
Oh, yeah.
And all they really need is for them to know that their life can be changed,
yeah.
That they are lovable, that they are acceptable, and that alone can turn their whole life around and for them to turn to Christ.
Right.
I've met many people that once you get to know them and really, you know, show an interest in them, they open up, their self-perception is just horrible.
Yeah.
Simply because of the circumstances that they were born in and the people they lived around. Every soul should be accepted by every Christian.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes it's those first impressions that we have, and those, you know, the way other people feel about a person or tell us about someone, and we make those judgments about them. But if we take the time to look at them, especially from the spiritual point of view and not from a worldly point of view, we can find someone completely different there than what, you know, we first thought or what we, you know, were led to believe or what have you. I'll tell you one more story, and then we're going to finish up this morning. When I was a junior in high school, between my junior and senior year in high school, I worked at McDonald's. It was my first, you know, real job. Worked at McDonald's one summer, and I started out beginning of the summer. In the first couple of weeks, I worked day shift, you know, but there were some of the folks that worked there, some of the other, you know, kids and all who worked there, saying, "You work night shift yet?" And no, I hadn't worked night shift. "Oh, man, you're going to hate night shift." You know, "What's wrong with night shift?" "Mr. Pratt. He's the night manager. You don't want to work for Mr. Pratt. He's mean. You know, and they just painted this picture of Mr. Pratt as like, I don't think I want to work night shift, you know, kind of thing. And so my first night shift, I got assigned to work night shift, and you know, Mr. Pratt's the manager, and I would go in there, and I was like, oh, I hope I'm going to be able to make it, you know, and all this stuff. And I, you know, I found Mr. Pratt to be a pretty cool guy. You know, we got along great. You know, he was an Army guy. You know, he was like a sergeant in the Army, and, you know, he expected people to work and to do, you know, I was raised as an Air Force brat, so I was used to that, you know. Didn't bother me a bit. And but we got along great. I worked night shift all the time. I requested it. You see. But my point is, if I had just gone based on what everybody else had told me, you know, then that wouldn't have worked very well. Now, I wasn't thinking about it from a spiritual point of view back then, okay? I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't even anywhere on the radar screen, okay? But it's just the point that, you know, some of we need to give people a chance, you see? And how we look at them is vitally important, all right? Now, I want you to think about that, and hopefully, and we spent a lot of time on this morning, and that's purposeful because this is really the foundation of what we need to be doing in terms of from here out in this study. We need to be focusing on our vision. How are we looking at people? And to be having a vision of Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the explain it and express it part. We're going to be looking at these different Bible stories there and encounters with Jesus that he had with your people. We're going to do that, begin that next week. And so I want to encourage you to read these Bible stories and look at these questions that are on here and get some answers, and then let's spend our time next week talking about these various situations, okay? Yeah. All right?
Do what? Memorize that verse.
Memorize that verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Okay? All right, thank you all very much.